Begin this week's parsha, Parshas Pekudei, as we know, is the very monumental opportunity that Moshe Rabbeinu has to finally construct the Mishkan. So we've been working for the last few parshios, and everyone is dedicating their time and their energy and their efforts to build this beautiful edifice. And finally, in our parsha, Vayakem Moshe es HaMishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu successfully puts all of these parts together, and now he is able to have a functioning Mishkan. And if you would just read the simple reading of the Psukim, you would think, what a wonderful celebration, how excited everybody must have been. However, if you look in the Medrash, it seems that things did not go as smoothly as expected. So the Medrash says what I believe is a shocking exchange between the Jewish people and Moshe Rabbeinu on this occasion. Says the Medrash, Misha Nigmara Melechas HaMishkan, when in this week's Parsha, all of the building, all of the efforts for the Mishkan were completed, Amar Lahem, he said to them, who's he? Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, Bo v'ani oseh lefneichem cheshbon. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I am now going to make an exact breakdown. I'm going to make an accounting for what it is that happened with all the money that came in for this building of the Mishkan. Amar Lahem Moshe. And that's why the Torah starts and it says, Ele pikudei ha-mishkan. That means this is the exact breakdown for everything that was used for the building of the Mishkan. V'kach, v'kach, yatza ala Mishkan. And Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting there, counting up every penny, looking at his big notebook, and he's just marking everything off. This person gave that amount of money, and I know exactly where it went. And he's explaining every single penny exactly where it was. And then, Achu Yoshev v'machashev. Moshe Rabbeinu gets close to the end of the cheshbon, and he realizes, hey, something doesn't add up here, and I got a problem. Shachach, be'elef u'shva meyos v'hei v'ayin shekel. How much money is that? 1,775 shkalim didn't add up, which is so insignificant in the grand scheme of what was collected. So Moshe Rabbeinu literally made an accounting for every single penny. He gets to the last 1,000 shkalim and he says, what am I going to do? I can't figure out where these last few bits of money went. Now, for anybody that's ever been involved in construction, in building a house, and building a mikveh, and building a shul, you know that they throw in so many extra charges. Who would have ever dreamt, you know, you had allocated a certain amount of money for the project and you never imagined that the tiles are going to cost this and the flooring is going to cost that and then every handle for every door is going to cost you money. Everything adds up. You never go back to the contractor and say, give me an exact cheshbon for how you spend every single last penny. Why did I pay so much money? That never happens. But yet here Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, we're going to go through it. I'm going to give you a cheshbon for every penny. And then he realizes, I'm 1,000 shekel short. What do I do now? Hischil Yoshev u'matmiya. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm stuck. Amar, he says, Achshav Yisrael motziyim yideyam leimar. Moshe natlan. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, what am I going to do? They're all going to point a finger at me and say, I stole the money. Can you imagine? This is Moshe Rabbeinu, who just took you out of Mitzrayim, who crossed the Yamsa for you, who gave you the Torah on Har Sinai, who you know went up to learn with God himself. And Moshe Rabbeinu's concerned that now that it comes time to building a Mishkan and he's short 1,000 shkalim, which is nothing, insignificant, he's afraid people are going to say, that's where all the money went. Moshe Rabbeinu stole it. It's amazing. And Moshe Rabbeinu finally realizes, Ma'asa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes him understand exactly where he put those last few dollars. Heyer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Einav V'ro Usam Asuyim Vavim La'amudim. Moshe Rabbeinu, as he was going through the whole Mishkan, he forgot that in between every two poles, he had a little hook that held the poles together. And he said, that's the remaining money I used for those little hooks, and I didn't recognize when I was looking around, I didn't notice those last little nails that were left out. It's a shocking medrash. What exactly does that mean? Yeah?
Donated.
Yeah.
Was there costs involved in this that he should concern himself about the added charges?
So listen even further. That's the first half of the Medrash, but it gets even more crazy. Says the Medrash, Osa Shah, Nispaisu Ka Yisrael Melechas HaMishkan. Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu explained everything to us. All right, now we can go to sleep at night. Now we understand. Then the Medrash continues and it says, you know, people are passing by Moshe Rabbeinu's house and they say, hey, you know, he's got a nice house, nice car he just leased. And this is a very nice life he's living. It's not a wonder to us. Moshe Rabbeinu just went around collecting money from everybody. Of course he got a nice new car, and of course he has a good lease. So the Medrash writes that Chavera Omer, one Jew says to the other, Adam Shashalit Amalechas HaMishkan Enat HaMavakesh Yehei Ashir. Does it surprise you that Moshe Rabbeinu got a new car and he's doing construction on his house? Of course it makes sense. Moshe Rabbeinu went around collecting money, and while he was collecting, so he took a little bit of the money for himself. What's the big deal? I mean, can you imagine this is what they're saying about Moshe Rabbeinu? Kishashama Moshe Kach, when Moshe Rabbeinu overhears the gossip in the community, he goes to the mikveh the next day and he overhears the conversation there and he says, hey, everybody's accusing me. Let me explain. He says, Chayechem, I promise you, Nigmar HaMishkan, when we're done with this process, when we're finished with this building, Etein Lachem Cheshbon, I will give you an exact breakdown. I will show you exactly where every last penny went, Amar Lahem, and now this week's Parsha, he says, okay, let's go, we're done. Ela Pekudei HaMishkan, come sit down with my accountant, we're going to show you everything, and you're no longer going to have any questions. So, this is so troubling on so many levels. Obviously, the question you asked, but just the whole Medrash beginning to end is very, very hard to understand. But Rav Meir Shapira makes such a beautiful insight, and it's so true, human nature is such. He says, you'll notice here, this was not the first time that money was collected for a purpose. What was the first time that they collected money? Just recently, we know, in Parshas Kisisa, what was money collected for? They wanted to make an Egel Azov. So everybody comes, and the Pasuk says, that over there, Vayisparku Kala'am. What happens? Everybody rushes. They don't even go home. Everybody rushes. Whatever gold and silver they were wearing, everybody has earrings and jewelry and diamond necklaces, everybody throws it into the pot. And they want to make an Egel Azov as quickly as possible. Writes from Meir Shapira, you threw hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars into the pot, and what came out? One Egel Azov, a little golden calf. And not one person bothered to ask a question, hey, what just happened to everything? Where did all the gold and the silver? All we have is one cow. What happened to the rest of the money? And here, where you have a very detailed construction of the Mishkan, with all the different layers of beauty, and you have the Oros Elim, and you have all of the different components to this Mishkan, and all the nails and the hammer, and all the time that we had to pay for and everything, oh, all of a sudden everyone jumps on and they have this double standard. All of a sudden we're worried about every last penny. Where did it go and how did you spend it? And we want an exact cheshbon. Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't trust you. Right? So Meir Shapira, how true is that? We live with a double standard and we all live with it. When it comes to some things in our life, when it comes to tzedakah, some people want to know, give me an exact accounting. Where are you spending the money? A guy comes to you and he says, I'm collecting, my child is not well. We ask him a million and one questions. Really? He's not well? Which hospital is he in? And who told you he can come around? And who? And why couldn't you go get the insurance from here? Why can't you do that? We ask a million and one questions. But when we go to the movie, when we go get a ticket to a Broadway show in the city and it costs us $400 to get the front row seat, nobody asks a question, well, where's all that money going? What are they spending it on? Nobody asks that question. And when we go on the Pesach program and we spend who knows how much money through the roof to go on the fanciest program in the world, nobody asks, oh, where are they? Who's pocketing all this money? Nobody thinks to ask that question. And says Rav Meir Shapira, that's the double standard that human beings live with. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was experiencing here. You could be Moshe Rabbeinu, you could be building a Mishkan, you can have Aaron standing next to you, you can have all the accountants in the world, but if you're missing 1,000 shkalim of the whole story, nobody's going to let it go, and you better make sure to be as careful as you can possibly be to show them how every penny is accounted for and nothing was overlooked. And that, he says, is something that we can take away from this medrash. But I think that there's something beyond that. That's just explaining about the story of Moshe Rabbeinu. But there's something, I think, beyond this lesson about Moshe Rabbeinu that can be understood in a very practical way as well. As we know, every time you read any story in Chumash, we know that we're always meant to take something practical away from that story and apply it to our lives. So as mentioned in this week's parasha, we read about the completion of the Mishkan. And the Mishkan, if you look in the very beginning of the collection of the money, we're told that everybody gave all the different elements that were necessary. Zav, Techeles, V'argamon, Talah, Shani, V'sheish, V'izim, Oros Elim, Adam, everything. Everything can ever ask for in Parshas Truma, we're told, was dedicated toward the Mishkan. One of those items, one of those materials that was collected was the Oros Techashim. So Rashi there writes, what exactly is the Oros Techashim? We all know what Tcheles and Argaman and Talash, Shani Zav and Kesef and Nechoshes, everybody knows what that is, but what's Oros Techashim? Who ever heard of that? Where do you get such a thing? Rashi says, it's a good question, it happens to be, says Rashi, this only happened one time in the history of the world. There was a tachash, an animal that never came back again. It was extinct after that, and it was only created for the purpose of the Mishkan. Okay, and what did they use it for? In the end, says Rashi, this is what was used to be the drape over the entire Mishkan. Why did they use the Oros Techashim, the skins of the tachash animal? What was so unique? Well, says Rashi, that the tachash was very proud of its skin. Why was the tachash proud of its skin? Because it had so many different beautiful colors. It was a rainbow skin. And therefore the Tachash had such a beautiful skin, and the Tachash was so proud of its skin. Therefore, says Rashi, this is why it was dedicated to the Mishkan, and that is why they used it to cover over the Mishkan, that everybody should see this beautiful casing, this beautiful cover that was made for the Mishkan from the Tachash. And what you see from that is, I think, every human being has so many aspects to their own personality, and so many talents, and so many different colors, and we're all such complex human beings. And the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us all of it. Why didn't he disqualify the Tachash skin and say, you're so proud of yourself, you're such a Baal Gaiva, you hold so highly of that which the Ribbono Shel Olam gave you, we're not going to use you for the Mishkan? No, that's not Gaiva. Gaiva is a person who doesn't understand that it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not Gaiva for a person to sit back and recognize what kind of talents, what kind of aptitudes, what kind of capabilities did the Ribbono Shel Olam give me, and how should I use those best to serve Him? The Tachash understood this is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do with my talent, and that's why it ultimately was used. And here perhaps the same thing goes, and that's what this Medrash means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates all of us, and He gives us the figurative Zahav, Kesef, and Nechoshes, Tcheles, V'argaman. Each person in their own life has so many facets to their personality that are supposed to benefit them, benefit their community, and benefit the world. And we need to take a step back and recognize, what exactly do I have? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless me with? And how does He want me to use them? And at the end of that process, V'asu li migdash v'shachanti b'socham, like the Alshech writes, b'soch kalechad ve'echad, the job of every Jew is to build a Mishkan in his own life, a sacred place where you're going to orbit, where you're going to live, and you're going to experience all of life. After that process is over, after every day that you invest in building your own personal Mishkan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to know, give me an accounting, like Moshe Rabbeinu was asked. Show me, how did you spend all of your talents? What did you do with all of your Tachash skin, with everything that I gave you and all that you should be so proud of? The Ribbono Shel Olam asks us, so let's see. I want an accounting for every last penny, for every moment of life that I gave you the blessing to have, for every experience that you had throughout the course of the day, and throughout every talent that I gave you, how did you spend it? Are you going to be able to answer that question like Moshe Rabbeinu did, that yes, he has a detailed account for every single last penny that was given to him? Or are we going to have to fudge the answer somehow and expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to understand it, that yeah, maybe we didn't use it for all the right purposes, and maybe we used it for something else that maybe was not going toward that mission of building our own makom for Hashra'as HaShechina? Let me just close with one final incredible insight that I once heard on a CD from the Talmud Rebbe. The Talmud Rebbe in Yerushalayim, I've shared a few of his insights before, and I always find them to be extremely, extremely thought-provoking. So he has a comment where he mentions a Magen Avraham in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. And you'll say, what does that have to do with us here, when we're talking about Pekudei and the Mishkan, you'll see in a minute. So there's a Magen Avraham, which the Magen Avraham usually is very cut and dry. You read the Magen Avraham, he's the commentary on the side of Aruch Chaim, Shulchan Aruch, and usually he just gives comments on whatever it is that the Shulchan Aruch says. He sticks in his own opinions, he tells us how we paskin, and he's usually very cryptic. And Hilchas Rosh Hashanah has a very unusual line, and there he tells a story. And he tells a story about a Baal Tokei who comes to Shul on Rosh Hashanah, and he was an expert Baal Tokei, but for some reason he couldn't get one blow out. Just wasn't working. And he doesn't know what to do. Never happened to him before. What should he do now? There's no one else in the shul knows how to blow. He showed up. He did his job. He prepared before Rosh Hashanah. He was all ready to go. And now, nothing seems to be working. Magen Avraham tells a story which seems like a story that shouldn't really be in the Magen Avraham. But he says that the Baal Tokeah took the shofar and he whispered into the shofar. What did he say? V'hinam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, U'masi Adeinu Kononu Aleinu, U'masi Adeinu Kononeinu. All of our maisim, all that we do, is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he says. And all of a sudden, he takes the shofar again, and suddenly he's able to blow the tkios like normal, like nothing went wrong. So there's a very strange Magen Avraham, but that's the story that the Magen Avraham quotes. And the Talmud Rebbe said he has two problems with the Magen Avraham, as far as I can remember. The Talmud Rebbe writes, usually when he says a Maimer Chazal, or he quotes something like this, he probably asks 10 questions. I only caught two of them from my memory. But this is what he said. Number one, he says, the Magen Avraham doesn't just tell stories. This is not something that he usually does. Why over here the Magen Avraham tells us the strange story, Achsidish HaMaisa, about the guy who blows into the shofar and a maifas happens and all of a sudden he's able to blow it? Doesn't sound like it fits in the Magen Avraham. Number two, he says, once you're going to go ahead and blow, try to blow the shofar and it doesn't work, and you're going to whisper something into the shofar like the Magen Avraham says, why wouldn't you say, say something about Rosh Hashanah? What are you saying, Vihinoam? What does that have to do with anything? How does that fit into Rosh Hashanah? What does that have to do with the tkios? And why did that help him do what he had to accomplish? Explain the Talmud Rebbe. Perhaps the answer is as follows. Where was the first time in history that this pasuk v'hi noam Hashem Elokeinu aleinu was actually said? Rashi writes it was said in our parsha. What happened when they finished creating the Mishkan? All of the different elements were ready to be put up together, and Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi says, couldn't figure out how to get it together. He couldn't build it. Until finally, after all of his hard work, he davens, and he says, V'hi noam Hashem Elokeinu aleinu. He says that pasuk, and all of a sudden, Vayakim Moshe as HaMishkan. Explains the Talmud Rebbe. How strange is it? HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the Jews out of Mitzrayim. What exactly did we know how to do in Mitzrayim? We were sitting there schlepping bricks, going from one place to another, working the fields, shepherding sheep. What else were we doing? And now he asks us to build a Mishkan. Who in the Jewish community knew how to be involved in construction? This was intricate laws of physics and how to understand exactly how to construct this edifice and put it up that it should stay, and then you have to take it down every day, collapsible building. Who knows how to do this? So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu expect? What did he want us to do? Writes the Talmud Rebbe, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu meant. V'inam Hashem Elokeinu aleinu. All we have to do is to try. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave me a talent, he gave me an ability, he allowed me to do something, and then I can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what, it's your job to make sure that it works. It's your job to finish it off. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu meant here. We've done everything exactly kasher tziva Hashem as Moshe. We prepared this Mishkan. We built it exactly the way we're supposed to. We've contributed as much as we possibly can. And from here on in, we have nothing more we can do. Moshe Rabbeinu says, God, now it's your problem. V'inam Hashem Elokeinu aleinu. Give us your blessing. Allow us just to finish off the project, even though we don't really have the physical ability to do so. And that, explained the Talmud Rebbe, is what the Magen Avraham meant. Somebody comes to shul, and he prepares the tekiyos, and he's ready to go, and he's the Baal Tekeh who was designated, and he did everything he should have, and now it just doesn't seem to come out. What's left for him to do? He says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I took all of the talents that you have given me, and I'm now asking you to finish it off. There's nothing more I can possibly do as a human being. And he evokes that tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, V'hinam Hashem Elokeinu aleinu, U'masi Adeinu Konenu aleinu. Now it's your job, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to finish off the job that I as a human being had started, because it doesn't seem that I have that ability. And that is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us in this week's Parsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us all so many talents, so many capabilities, so many individual opportunities to contribute to the world. But he is going to expect at the end the cheshbon, the same way Moshe Rabbeinu was expected to give an exact accounting of every single thing, how it was used and what it was used toward, and how it contributed to the greater whole. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will expect those very same answers from all of us because of the talents and the ability and the zav and the kesef and the choshes, tcheles, varagaman, figuratively, that he gives every single human being whenever they are created and to the experiences that they have in this world.